Harper Audio presents Real Magic, written and recorded by Dr. Wayne Dyer. According to the illustrious magician Harry Houdini, magic is achieved through illusion. Late in his career, though, Houdini alluded to something that he experienced which he called real magic. He apparently had acquired the ability to produce results that were in fact unexplainable. Real magic is the title of this tape because I became attracted to the paradox inherent in those two words. You, like most people, are probably convinced that if it is real, it cannot be magic. And if it is magic, it cannot be real. However, I believe we experience real magic when we transcend the paradox. In the past several years, my life has undergone a magnificent transformation. I find myself on a path leading to levels of awareness and results that I can only describe as miraculous. This unexpected turn that my own life has taken has occurred almost without my consent. I had no grand plan. What I did have was a willingness, an openness to seeing things another way. Now that I've been a witness to miracles in my personal life, I feel compelled to share this new magical awareness. Perhaps you've been drawn to this tape by the same natural flow of life that has motivated me to talk about real magic. As I look back at the entire tapestry of my life, I can see that every aspect of my life was necessary and perfect. Each step led eventually to a higher place, even though that step often felt like an obstacle or a painful experience. Begin right now to reconsider your entire life experience as a beautiful journey toward greater awareness. A simple way to do this is to envision your life as a journey with three ascending paths. On the first path of your journey, you learn through a process I call enlightenment through suffering. At this stage, you ask, "Why me?" when something occurs that is painful or difficult. After a while, you see, with the benefit of hindsight and suffering, that it allowed you to move on to another life experience of great value. You realize that you had to experience the pain in order to transcend it. Some people continue this cycle their entire lifetime. They never seem to get the message that unless you learn from your mistakes, you are doomed to repeat them. For persons in this category, real magic remains unavailable. If you recognize the first path as a pattern in your own life, then you probably have moved up past suffering as your means to learning to enlightenment through outcome. At this level, you develop a knowing that says, there are no accidents. Everything I am experiencing is necessary for me to move ahead to the next step. This is a shift of paramount significance. The shift in your mind allows you to look at the outcome of an event or experience and what you can learn from it. Instead of a poor me approach, you shift to a learning approach. You ask yourself, how can I create the outcome I want with what I'm presently experiencing? Many people spend their entire lifetimes on this second path. They see obstacles as opportunities. Living at outcome is far superior to living at suffering. What is missing in their lives, however, is the possibility of experiencing real magic and the ability to make miracles happen. For this, one needs to go to the third path on this metaphorical journey. I call the third path purpose. Learning that you have a heroic mission and getting in step with that mission is the path I'm encouraging you to take as you begin to introduce real magic into your life. Everything in the universe has a purpose. The invisible intelligence that flows through everything in a purposeful fashion is also flowing through you. Here's one way to begin the process of getting to purpose. First, think about the concept of eternity. No beginning, no end, just like the concept of God or nature or the universe. Try thinking of your life as a parenthesis in eternity. The parenthesis opens the moment of your conception and closes at the instant of your death. The space within this parenthesis is your life, surrounded by something called eternity. There is something that is very much a part of us that is invisible. Call it mind, thoughts, consciousness, soul, or even Louise if you like. The invisible self, the part that is not your physical sensory self, is the part that can contemplate eternity. If you even mildly accept the notion of eternity, then it is real for you. Remind yourself that everything exists for some reason as a part of the perfect intelligence that is the universe. Next, right here and now, go back to being a child again in your mind. You will see that the childhood experiences, whatever they were, helped that little person you were to become the adult you are today. I'm not asking you to judge, like or dislike, approve or disapprove. Simply see that each experience led to the next and offered you something to grow on or not to grow on. As you travel backwards in your mind, you can go all the way back to your infancy, right back to your very beginning. Mentally, contemplate the speck of time immediately preceding your conception when you were still part of eternity. There had to be an instant when, for whatever reason, you came from what we call nothingness to somethingness. The question I pose to you is, why? I suggest that your presence in the world of form has a grand mission, and that you can discover and begin thinking, feeling, and behaving in ways consistent with that mission. For me, Wayne Dyer, in the 1990s, I have gone back in my meditations and discovered why I showed up in form back in 1940. It feels very clear to me. I accept that I was born to accomplish certain things, and that each and every experience of my life since conception has led me to this purpose. My purpose is to give, to serve, to promote peace and prosperity, and to become totally, unconditionally loving to all people. Getting to purpose in life by going within and discovering that purpose is about loving unconditionally and serving alters one's worldview dramatically. Miracle making is then just around the corner. Suffering decreases measurably because the emphasis ceases to be, why me? When you go beyond outcome in life, you find yourself unconcerned about what's in it for you. You go beyond success, achievement, and performance as indications of your life's mission. Your purpose takes hold and you gain a sense of joy and inner harmony, knowing that you are divinely fulfilling your reason for being here. Once you begin the journey toward a life on purpose, you enter the realm of real magic. When you are on purpose, you are truly flowing with life, experiencing a kind of harmony that comes from not having to strive for something else. You sense that you are being watched over, and your actions come from this inner beatitude of rightness or centeredness. Live your life entirely on purpose and renounce any and all credit that may come your way from your actions. Be consistently aware of the need to serve God and to serve others in any and all of your actions. This is the way of the miracle worker. You may be thinking that this is a nice philosophy, but one that is too simplistic in the dog-eat-dog competitive 20th century world. I acknowledge and respect your reservations. In fact, I lived with similar skepticism for the larger portion of my life. I can only say that miracles and real magic began to show up in my life when I got myself to purpose. Only when I stopped being concerned about what was coming to me was I able to be in a state of grace. Get yourself aligned with your purpose. Discover the joy and peace of giving, not getting, of contributing, not acquiring. Why? Because you can't really get anything. You show up here with nothing. You leave here with nothing. All you truly can do with this life in form is to give it away. Purpose is always about giving. When you experience giving, serving, loving, and promoting harmony, you will feel the difference within yourself. As you prepare for this exploration of real magic, you may be asking, how will I do it? What if I need help? I want to help you find your answers. The ancient Zen proverb says, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. Let's examine the four key words in this Zen proverb. Student. Be a student. Stay open and willing to learn from everyone and anyone. Every single person you encounter in your lifetime has something to teach you. The ability to create real magic involves, first of all, being a student of life. Ready. This translates to being a willing student. As a student who is ready, you are eager for what it is that everyone and everything has to offer you. Teacher. The teacher is everywhere. The assistance you need will be provided by the universe as soon as you convert your readiness to willingness. Once you are willing, you will find teachers in every niche of your life. When you, the student, are ready and willing, the teacher will show up. You simply have to look around, open your new eyes, and silently ask yourself, who is my teacher? Appear. The teacher is making an appearance in everything and everyone you encounter. Today, as you are getting your life on purpose and gaining the ability to make miracles show up in your life, you will recognize the teacher. Once you feel yourself open enough to experience your own purpose for being here, and you have opened yourself up to receiving divine assistance by being a willing student, you will be ready to believe in your own capacity for becoming your very own miracle worker. When I talk about the world of real magic and miracles, I'm not referring to turning rocks into gold or raising the dead or commanding the seas to part. I'm discussing whatever you have considered beyond your ability to create for yourself because of limitations you believe you have. I want you to cultivate the foundation for creating real magic in any area that you would like. You must begin by examining your life focus and beliefs before attempting to implement any real magic strategies. I have identified 7 beliefs that can help you tap the power of real magic. Number 1, there's an invisible but knowable life force within you. Try cultivating an awareness of the invisible life force that suffuses all form in the universe, including your own physical body. This is the same universal intelligence that directs a rose to be a rose, the planets to align and move through space, and you to be you. It is, in fact, what allows you to perceive and experience your physical body and this physical world in which you find yourself temporarily housed. Number two, your thoughts are something that you control, and they originate with you. Thought is our way of processing and recording our human experience. Your thoughts create your experience of your health, wealth, and every detail of your world. As a step toward the awakened life of real magic, you must consider how your thoughts have contributed to a non-miraculous, limiting approach to life. Then you will know that you can also produce the opposite. Number three, there are no limits. All of the things that you have become convinced are limits are products of the way in which you have learned to think. You probably were taught that logic and scientific verification dictate what is possible and what is not. But people who believe only what they can see or prove scientifically are limited by the current level of sophistication of our measuring devices. Be a person who accepts no limits in your mind. None. Number four, your life has a purpose. The entire universe is an intelligent system. The invisible part of you, your thoughts and feelings, are also a part of the intelligent system that is you. What I'm asking of you here is to simply know you have a purpose, and then you'll be on your way to being able to create a miracle of your life in any and all areas of your choosing. Number five, you overcome weaknesses by leaving them behind. You cannot outthink your weaknesses and limitations. What you can do is leave that stage of your life behind you and walk through the gate into a new way of being. You leave behind the belief that you cannot change, and you will leave behind the physical activity that has supported that belief. Picture it behind you, look back at it, and know that you no longer live that way. Know this to be a truth, and you'll soon see yourself creating real magic in your life. Number six. Examine what you believe to be impossible, and then change that belief. Take an inventory of what it is that you believe cannot happen in your life. Vow at the very minimum to rid yourself of these beliefs. If anyone ever on the planet has overcome a diagnosis of terminal, then know that such a capacity exists within all of us. This universal law that created miracles has not been repealed, and never will be. Go to work on that thought right now, in this moment, which is the only physical reality you have. Number seven, go beyond logic. Try to let in the idea that there is another dimension that is very much a part of you, which has nothing to do with logic or scientific validation. You have never seen, touched, smelled, or physically felt a thought or a dream or a feeling, yet you know they exist. And so it is with a portion of your humanity that I call your soul. There are some who will never believe it unless they see it, and others who will see it because they believe it. Few of us have had any training or upbringing in how to tap into the power of our minds. In order to enter the world of real magic, you will need to learn how to go way beyond your rational mind and enter the dimension of spirituality. In order to participate in the high drama of miracle making and real magic, you must believe in your spiritual self, which has absolutely nothing to do with your religious affiliation. Once you have the experience of this invisible dimension and know this higher place that you can go to within your mind, you will have shifted from being an exclusively physical person, a human being having a spiritual experience, to a spiritual being having a human experience. You have the capacity to create miracles and live a life of real magic by using your invisible self to influence your physical reality. When you truly become a spiritual being first and a physical being second, and know how to live and breathe in this new alignment, you will become your own miracle worker. When you examine the lives of the most influential people who've ever walked among us, you discover one thread that winds through all of them. They have all been aligned firstly with their spiritual nature and only secondarily with their physical selves. Without exception, all of our greatest teachers have been spiritual beings. They didn't limit themselves to the five senses in any way. All of the great teachers and doctrines, including Christianity and Buddhism, Judaism, Islam, Sufism, and Confucianism, have left us with a similar message. Go within. Discover your invisible higher self. Know God as the love that is within you. Becoming a spiritual being is synonymous with being a miracle worker and knowing the bliss of real magic. The differences between people who are non-spiritual or physical-only beings and those that I call spiritual beings are dramatic. I use the terms spiritual and non-spiritual in the sense that a spiritual being has a conscious awareness both of the physical and the invisible dimension, while the non-spiritual being is only aware of the physical domain. Here are 12 beliefs and practices for you to cultivate as you develop your abilities to manifest miracles in your life. Number 1. A spiritual being knows that there are other senses beyond the 5 physical senses. The non-spiritual being lives exclusively within the 5 senses, believing that if you cannot see, touch, smell, hear, or taste it, then it simply doesn't exist. As you work toward becoming a spiritual being as well as a physical being, you begin to live more and more consciously within the invisible realm. Hence, a whole new world opens up. Number 2. The non-spiritual being believes we are alone in the universe. The spiritual being knows he or she is never alone. A spiritual being is comfortable with the idea of having teachers, observers, and divine guidance available at any time. For the non-spiritual being, this is all hogwash. This is a physical-only universe to the non-spiritual being, and the goal is to manipulate and control the physical world in any way that we can. Spiritual beings know that they are not alone, and that they can use their own divine guidance to become miracle makers in their own lives. Number 3. The non-spiritual being is focused on external power. The spiritual being is focused on personal empowerment. External power is all located in the dominance of and control over the physical world. This is the power of war and military might, the power of laws and organization, the power of business and stock market games. By contrast, the spiritual being is focused on empowering himself and others to higher and higher levels of consciousness and achievement. It is true empowerment to know that one can live in the world with others who have different points of view and have no need to control or vanquish them as victims. Once you no longer need to dominate others, to acquire more stuff, or to control the environment around you, you will have shifted your focus from external power to personal empowerment. Number 4. The non-spiritual being feels separated and distinct from all others, a being unto himself. The spiritual being knows that he is connected to all others and lives his life as if each person he meets shares being human with him. When a person feels himself to be separate from all others, he becomes more self-centered and much less concerned about the problems of others. The spiritual being knows that we are all connected and is able to see the fullness of God in each person with whom he makes contact in his life. Being connected means that the need for conflict and confrontation is eliminated. Number 5. The non-spiritual being believes exclusively in a cause-effect interpretation of life. The spiritual being knows that there is a higher power working in the universe beyond mere cause and effect. The non-spiritual being lives exclusively in the world of the physical, where cause and effect rules. The spiritual being goes beyond Newton's physics and lives in an entirely different realm. The spiritual being knows that thoughts come out of nothingness, and then in our dream state, when we are in pure thought, cause and effect play no role whatsoever. Number 6. The non-spiritual being is motivated in life by achievement, performance, and acquisitions. The spiritual being is motivated by ethics, serenity, and quality of life. For the non-spiritual being, the focus is on learning for the purpose of high grades, getting ahead, and acquiring possessions. For the spiritual being, success is defined by aligning oneself with one's purpose. The spiritual being knows that living purposefully involves serving in a loving fashion. While the spiritual being will achieve and perform at high levels and even acquire many possessions, it is not the end-all principle that guides his life. Number 7. The non-spiritual being has no place for the practice of meditation. The spiritual being cannot imagine life without it. For the non-spiritual being, answers are sought by working hard, struggling, persevering, setting goals, and in competing in a dog-eat-dog world. The spiritual being knows the enormous power of the practices of meditation. He knows that meditation makes him more alert and able to think more clearly. For the non-spiritual being, this is perceived as an escape from reality. But for the spiritual being, it is an introduction to a whole new reality, reality that includes an opening in your life that will lead you to miracle making. Number 8. For the non-spiritual being, the concept of intuition can be reduced to a bunch of haphazard thoughts. For the spiritual being, intuition is viewed as guidance, and this inner insight is never taken lightly or ignored. You know from your own experience that when you ignore your intuitive proddings, you end up being sorry or having a hard lesson show up in your life. To the non-spiritual person, intuition is often ignored or shunned in favor of behaving in habitual ways. The spiritual being strives to increase consciousness concerning their intuition. They pay attention to their invisible messages and know deep within that there is something working here that is much more than a coincidence. Number 9. The non-spiritual being hates evil and is determined to eradicate that which he believes to be evil. The spiritual being knows that everything that he hates and fights weakens him, and all that he is for empowers him. A non-spiritual being knows what he hates, and much of his energy, both mental and physical, is devoted to fighting what he perceives to be bad or evil. Spiritual beings do not order their lives to be against anything. They work for what they are for, rather than fighting what they are against. When you fight evil by employing the methods of hatred and violence, you yourself become a part of the hatred and violence of evil itself, despite the rightness of your position in your own mind. Real magic occurs in your life when you have eliminated the hatred that is in your life, even the hatred that you have against hatred. Number 10. The non-spiritual person feels no sense of responsibility to the universe. Therefore, he has not developed a reverence for life. The spiritual being has a reverence for life that goes to the essence of all beings. The spiritual being behaves as if the God in all life mattered, and he feels a sense of responsibility to the universe. Miracle-making capability comes out of a strong reverence for all life, including your own. And therefore, in order to know real magic, you must learn to think and act in ways consistent with being a reverent spiritual being. Number 11. The non-spiritual being finds himself laden down with grudges, hostility, and the need for revenge. The spiritual being has no room in his heart for such impediments to miracle-making and real magic. The spiritual being knows that all spiritual masters have talked about the importance of forgiveness. Forgiveness is an act of the heart. If you fill your inner invisible self with bitterness and revenge toward others, you'll leave no room for the harmony and love that are necessary in order for you to experience real magic in your life. And finally, number 12. The non-spiritual being knows that there are real world limitations and that while there may be some evidence that miracles exist, they are viewed as random happenings for a few fortunate others. The spiritual being believes in miracles and his own unique ability to receive loving guidance and to experience a world of real magic. The spiritual being knows that miracles are very real and that the forces that have created miracles for others are still present in the universe and are something that can be tapped into. The non-spiritual being sees miracles as accidents and therefore has no faith in his own ability to participate in the miracle-making process. These ideas, which I call the spiritual dozen, require very little of you. They are not difficult to do, nor do they require any long training or indoctrination on your part. They can be accomplished in this very instant in which you are listening. Regardless of how you have chosen to be up until now, working toward becoming a spiritual being can be your specific choice today. You simply have to decide that this is the way you would like to live out the remainder of your life. With that kind of an inner commitment, you are underway. It is most important for you to know, however, that being able to make miracles happen is fundamentally a result of how you choose to align yourself, how you choose to use your mind, and how much faith you have in being able to use your mind to affect your physical world. The ancestor to every action is a thought. Here are some practical suggestions for getting in touch with yourself as a spiritual being. To prove to yourself that you're more than a five-sensory being, write down all the things that you experience within yourself that are beyond your sense of taste, sight, hearing, smell, and touch. By keeping track of what creates your actions, you gain the insight that your actions are coming from something that isn't physical at all. To help you to experience yourself as a multisensory being, test the power of your mind on something that you perceive to be difficult. Visualize yourself doing something such as improving a golf swing, or not having a drink at a cocktail party, or jogging for a mile. Describe it in detail in writing or record it on tape. Do this several times and see if you can manifest the vision in your physical world. When you do, you will have broken through the limit of your five senses. To get acquainted with the reality of your invisible world, question the pure physical evidence reported by your five senses. Your senses tell you that the world is standing still and you are moving upon it. But you know that the world is traveling at dizzying speeds. Assess how much your five senses delude you about your own reality, and then ask yourself why you put so much faith in those senses. To make contact with divine or spiritual guidance, just for a day, suspend your skepticism. Give yourself a gift of a quiet place and a quiet hour all to yourself. Ask for assistance in an area that is troubling you. See if you can create an image of receiving help from a guide that cares about you and wants to extend love toward you. I can guarantee you that if you make this a regular habit, you will begin to go to this magical inner place regularly, and you'll receive the guidance that has previously been so elusive. What you will be doing is making direct contact with your higher self, with the divine intelligence that is always with you. To connect with the invisible dimension we call death, keep track of your dreams, particularly those dreams in which you were in the presence of someone who was in your life but has now passed on. When you're able to make contact with those souls in your dreams and experience how real they still are, you will see that aging and death are only realities for the five sensory world. You will have an awareness of your own immortality, and you'll begin to know that those whom you've loved and who have passed on are not truly gone from your life. They are there and available for you. To extend your sense of guidance in your life, begin to know that you do not have to sleep to make contact with a soul. If you can connect with the higher dimension in your sleep, work at believing that the same connection, the same loving guidance, is available to you whenever you choose to recognize it. To find models and companions for your journey, read about the personal experiences of people you admire. As you do, look for the spiritual dimension in their personal journeys. Whether your heroes be athletes, writers, clergymen, musicians, artists, or anyone else, virtually all of the truly inspired leaders in their fields have come to a point in their lives where they felt they were being guided. They knew that they were not alone, and they began to trust divine guidance in reaching levels they believed could not have been achieved otherwise. To learn new ways of sharing, examine your behavior toward those people in your life that you feel a need to dominate or control. Be it a spouse or children or co-workers, whomever, take some time to relate to them differently by seeing beyond their physical form to the fullness of God that is within them. Once you begin to see past the physical body of those around you, you will begin to relate to the very same invisible force that flows through you and... To practice a life without a focus on control, attempt to help someone do something for themselves where previously you would have instructed them how to do it. Replace the search for external power with genuine, authentic power, which is the ability to empower others to take control of their own lives. To demonstrate to yourself that you're not alone, picture yourself connected by invisible strings to everyone that you encounter. In this way, you will begin to treat others as if they are truly a part of you. You will have a tendency to extend love and help rather than feel enmity and competition. To recognize how you've been taught to hate, make a mental note of all the people whom you regard as enemies. Realize that you've been taught to hate. Few people understand the simple message. The enemy is hate itself. Rid yourself of this hatred and fill yourself with harmony. This does not imply that you should be victimized by the ugly actions of others. What it means is that you do not have to have hatred and killing in your heart. To put yourself in touch with the non-physical universe, become comfortable with the concept of nothing. Your thoughts come out of the silent, empty space of your mind. From nothingness to a thought, effect without cause in the purely physical sense. Miracles do not need a physical cause. Allow yourself to experience the something out of nothing phenomenon. To put yourself in touch with your non-physical self, remove yourself from the physical world for a brief period of time. Quietly, within your own mind, let go of each of your senses, as you do every night while you're sleeping. The more you are able to let go of your attachment to your body through your all-knowing, all-powerful mind, the less you will use your physical state as a way of assessing your life. To keep your focus on purpose rather than on outcome, keep your mind, body, and soul totally in the moment of your activity. In all of your activities, stop and ask yourself, truly, why am I doing this? You will find that the outcome, win, or the reward, is just as fleeting as the moments you participate in the activity. Stay on purpose in your activities, rather than focusing on the ultimate reward. To rid yourself of a preoccupation with valueless things, rethink your attitude about your possessions. Make an inventory of everything you own. Is there anything that you would die for in that list? Now think about your values, your ideals, your loved ones, and ask yourself the very same question. You know what your priorities are. They all have to do with what you think and believe, not what you own. Stay on that purpose, and you will find yourself automatically shifting to a spiritual focus in your life. To conduct yourself on a spiritual plane, begin living one day at a time, emphasizing ethics rather than rules. Keep in mind that some of the most despicable human behavior has been conducted in the name of, I'm only following the rules. The rules or the laws told black people to sit in the back of the bus. The laws said owning a submachine gun was fine. People who live by ethics have moved away from arcane, victimizing rules. Be that kind of a person for a day. Get yourself away from the rules and live ethically. To become more peaceful with yourself and the world, give yourself a quiet time alone daily for 1 week. This is extremely important and something that you will quite likely resist. Set aside 30 minutes or so to be alone and peacefully go within and quiet your mind. If you stay with it, I absolutely, emphatically guarantee that you're going to begin to discover a part of yourself that will provide you with all of the loving guidance you need in every single area of your life. To befriend and cultivate your intuition, treat those inner proddings that crop up in your mind as welcome guests instead of labeling them as nothing but random hunches. Develop a dialogue with that intuitive voice and simply note what you learn or what happens in the next few days as a result. The next time you have an intuitive notion, choose to follow its lead. To stay focused on what you are for in life rather than what you are against, inventory everything in your life that you are opposed to and then reword your list to reflect what you are for. Rather than being against evil, be for love. Replace your being against your child's bad study habits with being for a self-disciplined young person. Remember that all that you fight weakens you. All that you support empowers you. To develop an empowering attitude towards yourself, restate everything that you dislike about who you are in positive, affirmative ways. Instead of being against your laziness, be for having more energy. By being for your energy, you will take actions correcting your laziness. This is true of all your so-called bad habits. Restate them in terms of what you are for, and you will automatically empower yourself to correct them. Spend some time every day in awe, in total, complete awe. Be thankful for your liver, your hands, your invisible, incomprehensibly awesome mind. Treat all of life with reverence and awe, and know that it is all working purposefully. A few minutes a day in total awe will contribute to your spiritual awakening faster than any metaphysics course you could take. To move past anger and bitterness in your mind, isolate one person whom you feel has wronged you at some time in your life. Now, just for a few moments, instead of feeling the hate and bitterness you feel, try to imagine yourself sending them love. When you're able to send them love instead of hate, you will not only be healing yourself, you'll be on your way to becoming a spiritual being. Remember the sage words of Buddha. You will not be punished for your anger. You will be punished by your anger. The final task on the journey to experience real magic is to set your mind, that is your invisible self, on the path of miraculous living. What follows is a guide for shifting your mindset to experiencing a world where real magic is not only possible, but it's your birthright. With this shift, miracle making will become something you not only believe in, but that you manifest in your everyday life. Number one, reserve your judgment and your disbelief. I encourage you to cultivate a new, self-declared openness to anything and everything being a possibility for you. Having an open mind and suspending your disbelief allows you to experience new vistas, while your closed mind keeps you trapped in your old ways of thinking and seeing. Real magic is only available to those who can imagine any and all possibilities, while letting the how it will happen take care of itself. Here's a suggestion for implementing this. Practice inner affirmations, giving yourself permission to adopt new ideas. I will keep an open mind. I refuse to judge anyone or any idea. I will act on my new openness rather than my old skepticism. 2, create a real magic zone in your mind. Make this a very private part of your life. Reserve a small piece of your consciousness exclusively for this. I've been able to manifest what constitutes miracles for myself by having this very private zone all to myself. It was once while I was in a shower quietly meditating that I considered being completely alcohol-free. I asked myself, or my guide, whom I call Icus, can I give up alcohol beginning January 1st of next year? The answer was crystal clear. Just don't take a drink today and ask again tomorrow. Just today. You don't have to look any further. And from that moment on, I have been completely alcohol-free. I recommend that you reserve your own invisible and formless zone in your own mind. Retreat there often to ask for the loving guidance, and the guidance will be there. Here's a suggestion for implementing this mindset. Keep one little corner of your mind open to miracle-making. Investigate the lives of other people who've experienced miracles. Know this is possible for you, too. By allowing yourself to be receptive to these stories and genuine experiences, you'll begin to open up your mind to these very real possibilities for yourself. Number 3, affirm yourself as a no-limit person. When you develop this real magic zone in your mind and trust that you can go there at will, begin to affirm to yourself that there are literally no limits to the powers that you possess. A great rule of thumb is this: if you can conceive of it in your mind, then it can be brought into the physical world. To become your own miracle worker, you'll have to change the thoughts that create your world of limits and boundaries. Why not include the presence of real magic in your life as well? Here's a suggestion for implementing this no-limit belief. Affirm to yourself out loud each day that you are a spiritual being having a human experience, and that in this spiritual realm there are no limitations. This affirmation will help you open yourself up to tapping into the universal forces rather than being a skeptic and never allowing them to work in your life. Affirm it first, and then begin to act on that affirmation. Number 4. Develop a new mindset toward the concept of intuition. You really must become comfortable with the idea that strong inner pleadings and sudden hunches are truly inner voices offering you guidance. Think of your intuitive self as God talking privately to you, just as you talk privately to God and call it prayer. I'm absolutely certain that you have numerous stories of times that an inner voice prompted you to behave in what seemed to be an irrational way and turned out instead to be life-saving. It happens to everyone. Most of us get these intuitive signals on a regular basis. Your intuition, that fuzzy inner voice that you hear so often, is a part of your life. It's there. It's real. Pay attention to it. Here's a suggestion for implementing this new mindset. Practice listening to and following your intuition just one day at a time. Try following one of those hunches in a new way just once today. Forget about the outcome and remind yourself that by listening to these intuitive proddings, you overcome an inner mental inclination to ignore them.